Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morecast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. I've gone back and forth, and I'm sorry for the late podcast here. I have been doing a bunch of other things. I am the head of podcasts and other things at a place called Mile High Life, which is an adjunct of Mile High Sports. And it has kept me busy, so I apologize. I will be more on top of it and try to get these things out more regularly. But, you know, obviously there's about 10,000 other Denver Nuggets podcasts, so I'm sure you didn't miss me that much. But I kind of want to talk about two subjects. And you know how the Morecast rolls, so it's first half, second half here. First half, I'm going to talk about Michael Porter Jr. and his brother, Coben, and what is going on. I'm not going to comment on the incident, but we can just say that his brother Coben was involved in a fatal accident where, according to the Denver police, and we need to stress that it's according to alleged by the Denver police, there was appeared to be alcohol involved, but that is not proven because this had his day in court. But we do know this, that someone died, a 42-year-old woman. And Mike has not been back with the team since. And this is now his third game he's missed. And it is important to see that there are things that are bigger than the NBA. And we as fans tend to be myopic and look at things through a narrow view. I'm guilty of that as well. But what we need to do for Michael Porter Jr. is understand that he is going through some shit and is probably going to be going through some shit for the rest of the year. My sympathies go to the family of the victim. The victim who obviously this is a tragic incident that never needed to happen. And first and foremost, my thoughts are with the victim and the victim's family. The Porters are, from what I understand, are a very close-knit family. Obviously they are very religious, you know, they were homeschooled. There are things about the Porters that are, indicative of a close-knit family. And if you watched MPJ's Curious Mike podcasts, he is close with his family. He's very close with his family. And I think when you look at this, you could see how this would personally affect Mike in a deep, deep way. And I think we as Nuggets fans need to take a step back and just think about the crap that Michael Porter Jr. has been through. 3 back surgeries, you know, this obviously, once again, the victim is the primary source here. But speaking in strictly basketball terms, I think we need to just lay off Mike when he gets back. Because, I mean, who knows how he's going to respond to this. And if it's not up to par, I think we all better understand that there are things that are bigger than the NBA. Primary of which is your family. And the family that is going had just tragically lost a member of theirs. Obviously, that part is going to be, they're going to be dealing with that with the rest of their lives. And it just really puts, I mean, I hate to say it puts things in perspective, but it actually, it minimizes the game that we watch. And I think we as fans need to just kind of step back and understand that this is a thing. This is not a situation where we need to be lecturing or tut-tutting about non-availability or anything like that. This is unprecedented. We don't see crap like this. I mean, I remember J.R. Smith was involved in a wreck. I believe that it was drunk driving with his friend on I-76 back in the day. And that was a tragic incident. And who knows how that affected JR. It is just not something that you can take into account. I will point out that trauma like this, and we need to start focusing on trauma. It is long, sometimes long lasting, and manifests itself in ways we don't expect. Javon Walker was never the same after Deron Williams was murdered here in downtown Denver in January 1st, 2007. I don't think that Kenyon Martin was the same, because I believe it was his birthday party. Was it his birthday party or was it something like that? Kenyon Martin was there. Javon Walker was literally never the same for the rest of his career, which ended shortly after that. And it wasn't something that was directed at him, but it was hard for the people involved and for everyone around it. And anything like this, you just can't account, nor should you account, for the trauma that happens when someone dies tragically like that, and how it affects the family of the people of the person who died, or the people who, like Coben's family, as close as they are, who knows how that'll affect them. We can't sit here and tut tut and cluck our tongues about Mike when he comes back and he's not playing that well. I'll be honest with you, he needs to take as much time as he needs to deal with what he needs to deal with here. And I think any sane Nuggets fan will think the same way. It is what it is. And the Nuggets are very good this year. And I think they will be able to survive a bit without having Mike on the court. We need to just take that into consideration and be understanding, is all I'm saying. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to talk to you about the Denver Nuggets top five, and as far as I'm concerned, greatest of all time, of top five Nuggets of all time. I this is not favorites. I've done a favorites list before, but this is top. This is what I think is who are the objectively the greatest Denver Nuggets. And I'll be talking about that on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this. The top five greatest Nuggets of all time. This is a weird, not weird. This is a list that it is, it's one of those lists that you you have a hard time making because you the most of the players that you will list are people that you have seen, and some that you haven't. So you have to do it based on stats, based on what people tell you and all that stuff. It's hard to be objective about the past that you've never seen. That's why greatest lists and the NBA top 75 is so dumb. I'll be honest with you, because there's people who are on that list who shouldn't be there and people who were left out that should be. But this is a shorter list, and this is obviously easier to do, I think. And I'm going to start from number five and work my way up to number one. So number five is, drumroll please, Carmelo Anthony. Yes, number five. Carmelo should be given, as I said on my last podcast, should be given credit for his star restoring the Denver Nuggets. Eventually, Nuggets fans will get there. The replies I got on my last podcast will indicate to you that the Nuggets fans are not there yet. But that eventually it will happen. Then the Nuggets fans will understand what Carmelo Anthony did for this Nuggets franchise that was desperately in need for someone who had his star. As flawed as he was one of the greatest scorers of his generation, and he lifted the Nuggets at a time when they needed to be lifted. There was missed drafts. The 98 draft comes to mind. The Nuggets were tied for the worst record in the league and lost a coin flip to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and thus guaranteeing that they wouldn't be able to select LeBron James. In fact, they fell down to number three. There's a history that obviously longtime Nuggets fans are familiar with and struggle with. But Carmelo Anthony, coming off of his championship at Syracuse and his star, helped rejuvenate a Nuggets team that was badly, badly in need of that. And a Denver Nuggets franchise that was in need of something good to happen after the last, I think it was 8 years of complete misery from when Issel retired all the way to 2003. And it was good to get a ray of light. And Carmelo Anthony represented that. So he scored just under 14,000 points for the Denver Nuggets. I think it's still the most points he scored in any place since his various stops. It was more than he scored with the Knicks. Good for Melo. I think number five in a Nuggets franchise is a good slot to have for Carmelo Anthony. All right, number four is Dan Issel. Dan Issel is the criminally underrated Denver Nuggets player. The player who had by far the most success of any Nuggets player. From 1975 to 1985, Dan Issel went to an ABA Finals, Western Conference Finals, won 50 games in the Nuggets' debut season in 1976-77, and went to another Western Conference Finals in 1985. No one has been able to repeat that success. No one. As far as team success goes. And a lot of it had to do with Dan Issel. The Nuggets did not lose that 1976 ABA Finals because of Dan Issel. They lost it because Williamson was able to mug David Thompson in the second half of Game 6. The fourth quarter specifically of Game 6 of the ABA Finals. But Dan Issel and his impact on the Denver Nuggets franchise is numerous and immense, be it from his 10 years as a Denver Nuggets player to his really first stint as a Denver Nuggets coach, which gave the Nuggets arguably their imprint on NBA history, which is the first time an 8 seed beat a 1 seed in 1994. There is so much there. Of course, his controversies, the way he left in 2001, there are many ways that Dan Issel has made a significant impact on the Denver Nuggets. And this is something that I think that we need to appreciate now. He is a Hall of Famer for a reason. Came in the Hall of Fame in 1993. I remember when he was inducted. And it was during the year that he became head coach, 92-93 season. It's just, it's incredible to see Denver Nugget. And in one of the things in NBA history, Dan Issel was the first real stretch five. And that was that he was a stretch five with the Denver Nuggets. He was not that with the Kentucky Colonels. Artis Gilmore played center there. When he came to the Denver Nuggets, 6'9" center, played outside, shot jumpers, faked Kareem famously a lot, and just was generally one of the greatest scorers and rebounders in NBA history. Criminally underappreciated player, but I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. And he really should have been considered for the NBA Top 75. In my view. All right, number three is David Thompson, Skywalker, David Thompson. It may be controversial to some, me placing David Thompson above Carmelo Anthony specifically. Thompson and his impact on the game of basketball far outreaches probably any Nugget. He was the proto Michael Jordan. If he didn't succumb to a deep, deep, deep cocaine addiction in 1979, he would have been among the greatest to ever play the game. David Thompson was simply that good. No player impacted a franchise greater than David Thompson did with the Denver Nuggets in 1975. The 74-75 Nuggets won 65 games and in the ABA, and they somehow convinced David Thompson to sign with them over, I think it was the Atlanta Hawks, in 1975. And from that moment, the Nuggets became officially one of the deadliest teams in the NBA. And the 75 to 78 Nuggets were among the greatest what-ifs in NBA history. Brian Taylor quits on the Denver Nuggets midway through the 1978 season, and the best team in the league that year succumbs to the Seattle Supersonics in the Western Conference Finals in 1978. But David Thompson was special, be it his dunks, his scoring, his ability to impact the game. David Thompson was a 6'3" dynamo, and no player in Nuggets history, I think, has been as athletic or as impactful and as worshipped as Thompson was, specifically for his North Carolina State days. Michael Jordan was a big fan, loved David Thompson, and basically modeled his game off of David Thompson. Think about that. David Thompson is one of the, if not the greatest what-if story in NBA history. And like I said, if he didn't succumb to cocaine addiction in 79, things would have been remarkably different, specifically for this Denver Nuggets franchise. And it's a shame that it happened. And go watch, I encourage you to go watch some old highlight reels of David Thompson dunks. Just the way he leapt out of the gym. It's insane. Absolutely insane. No one, no player in Nuggets history has been like David Thompson. All right, number two, Alex English. Brum. Yes, folks, Alex English, number two. It's hard to describe Alex English's game to people who are used to 3-point shots and layups. If you are under the age of 40, or even younger than that, I'm 45. So if you are Alex English's last year with the Denver Nuggets was 1990. So if you are younger than a certain age, you will not have remembered Alex English. But through the 80s, Alex English was a scoring dynamo that single-handedly lifted the Denver Nuggets through playoffs that they were often injured in. The Nuggets' big story of the 80s was at crucial moments, Fat Lever would get injured. In Game 5, famously in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals in 1985, Kareem deliberately, in my view, broke Alex English's hand. There's just the untimely injuries befell that Nuggets team more than the Lakers. If the Nuggets win that Game 4 in 1985, that series probably goes 7 and gives the Lakers the hardest time that they would have. And 99% of that was Alex English because he was unstoppable. The most unstoppable shot you've ever seen. And it was a mid-range shot going towards the basket, reaching at its highest apex. No one shot like Alex English. No one has shot like Alex English since. Alex English is a one of one. You will never find another Alex English. Small forward at 6'7". Obviously, small forwards now are 6'9", 6'10". English would, that was just had his record broken for assists by Nikola Jokic. He is on the leaderboard for rebounds. He's on the leaderboard for the Nuggets for assists. We just talked about assists, but scoring, he is still way in the lead. Number two is Dan Issel with like almost 17,000 points as a Denver Nuggets player. It is certainly, but English had almost 22,000, and I think his career was something like, since he spent about 5 years before he was a Nugget, so I think he scored about 5K before that. So he was in the ballpark of about 26,000 points total in the NBA by the time he retired. It was a scoring machine. His biggest achievement, obviously, is being the leading scorer of the 80s and scoring 2,000 points in 8 consecutive seasons. That is insane. It's just, you never see anything like that. And his scoring a prowess without shooting 3-point shots is mind-boggling. In an era that didn't value the 3-point shot, Alex English was scoring in bunches by doing a leaner with a ball released at its apex and an unblockable shot. Alex English was a singular player and should be respected more than he is. And I think Nuggets fans, especially younger Nuggets fans, need to take a look at some Alex English. You won't be impressed by him. He was a quiet scorer, but he was an unstoppable scorer. And a one of one, folks, a one of one. All right, of course, that leads to number one. And of course, I'm going to Nikola Jokic. Jokic has done stuff, I mean, in an era that is aided greatly by the spacing. And a lot of the stuff that Jokic does wouldn't be possible in the 90s. I think he would have thrived in the 90s. In fact, I think Phil Jackson, I've said this over and over, Phil Jackson would have loved Nikola Jokic. Loved him. He may not have used him as much as the modern era does, but Phil Jackson would have absolutely died for Nikola Jokic because Nikola Jokic is the perfect triangle center, and the Nuggets run some variants of triangle in their offense, when they break out of the dribble handoff hell that they devote that they get into, but it is insane what the Nuggets are able to do with him because Nikola Jokic is the smartest player on the court, and the smartest players on the court are often rewarded by having gaudy stats like Jokic gets with the assists and the rebounds and the scoring when he wants to. Nikola Jokic is, simply put, not anyone I have ever seen in a Denver Nuggets uniform. The Nuggets have never, aside from Dikembe Mutombo, who was a defensive force, who was number six on this list, if there was a sixth. Dikembe Mutombo was a different kind of center, defensive shot-blocking center, a proto-Clint Capella, but a much better defender than Clint Capella. Nikola Jokic would single-handedly decimate an offense in his prime because of his long reach and his ability to block straight on. There was a somewhat, I think it was Dave Krieger in the Rocky Mountain News that said Mutombo would do strong side blocks rather than weak side blocks, which is how most people get their blocks right now. But Nikola Jokic is a singular player. He is another one of one, of which there have been three in Denver Nuggets history. And Nikola Jokic I just now put him at number one. I would have put English last year at number one, even with the back-to-back MVPs. This year, Nikola Jokic has become that guy. And a guy that has never actually been in a Denver Nuggets organization. A guy that has once again transformed an organization that needed it. And I think that when we look back on Nikola Jokic and what we have seen with Nikola Jokic, we will say we were lucky to have seen him. And I don't know how many times, well, I can tell you infrequently, this has happened in Denver Nuggets history. You know, Spencer Haywood is probably the closest one that comes to that, and he was only on the Nuggets for 1 year, his rookie season in 1969. And that was during a different era. And David Thompson at his peak in, say, 77, 78. We really haven't seen anything like Nikola Jokic. He is unique to this era, and he is unique to basketball. You can't compare him to anyone. You can try, but you can't. And that is maybe what is the most impressive thing about Nikola Jokic, is that you can draw as many comparisons to Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, you know, Tim Duncan, all these guys. He's his own thing. And I respect that sort of thing as someone who has done his own thing his entire life. I really do respect that. Do your own thing and be the best at that. And anyone who is listening to this podcast has got to respect Nikola Jokic being that guy. And I am singularly impressed with him. And I hope, as long as the Nuggets have him, because I'm not convinced that he will not leave this organization via trade or free agency or anything like that. But I think we all are fairly comfortable with the fact that Nikola Jokic will probably just say, I've had enough. And it may be a little earlier than we want him to. But we've got to enjoy the ride till then. And it's been amazing. And he is a one of one. And one of the greatest Nuggets I've ever seen. And one of the greatest players in the modern era. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. I'll be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.